Welcome to Gigig Bizarre Show, episode 42, and it's a Monday, March 13, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray. And joining us tonight is Ty David Lerman, an LPC. Ty, what's an LPC?
Licensed Professional Counselor.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the show, and I'm glad you joined us.
Thanks for having me.
So, everybody out there, our show here at the Gay Geek Bizarre, is that we talk about gay stories, geek news, and bizarre topics, and we bring that up. And we bring in Ty so we could talk about some of in our gay segment, I guess, right? Ray?
Yes.
And so what's up, Ray?
Not much. How was your weekend?
Oh, pretty good. Just went out with the Montreal Softball League at the Indian Booth last weekend.
Year again, yeah. Isn't it?
That's right. Miss Sonny's Parker. No. Sonny's Parker.
Is she playing softball?
She used to. Okay. She used to play softball with the team, with the league years ago. But then she left. She went to the women's league, and then I think she went to politics afterwards. I don't know much of the history, but since she's out of office, she's now relaxing and good for her. She looks great.
Yeah. So for the next 5 months, I'll have to hear about softball all the time.
Yeah, probably yes.
It's like being a wife married to a football.
Yeah, that's right.
There are worse things to hear about.
I know. Right. Mm-hmm. But every time you get, I'm at softball. No, I've got a softball function. No, got to practice.
You got to practice Sunday.
So can't do anything. Sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So about you, Ray? What did you do?
Let's see. Friday night I got drunk and drunk tested. That was pretty good.
That's always good. always the fun ones.
And I blame the bartender who served me way too much alcohol. But actually, I'll take responsibility for it. I was doing it for fun.
Oh, okay.
So Saturday night, had dinner with friends. Went to Perry's. Had a nice dinner here in Houston. If you've never been to Perry's in Houston, go check it out.
Yeah.
Just take a lot of money.
I may have been there once.
And just take a lot of money.
Yeah, because it's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. They charge for everything. So...
Like, and, even water?
I'm sure there's a charge on it somewhere on the bill for something.
Probably pay for it through the tip or something.
Yeah. So, and then Sunday I went and saw Kong, which you can't go because you were too busy.
That's right.
Because even though softball had been canceled.
Oh, that's right. I had chores to do.
Chores always.
How about you, Ty? What did you do this weekend? Just in town, right?
Yeah, I stayed in town mostly. Friday night, one of our great friends is an opera singer, and she is here for the HGO upcoming show,
Opera
Wagner. So we had dinner. We are slight foodies, and so we enjoyed a nice...
Foodies? Where'd you guys go?
Oh, we cook.
Oh, you cook. Yeah, kind of food. You didn't...
Those kind of foodies. We're the annoying people that post all the picture of our food on Facebook.
Oh, I do that.
That's
too.
Us, yes.
Ray hates that.
They'll never be friends with Julia.
But I like it when it's home cooked and it's very presentable. Put it on a black plate or something. I don't know.
White plate.
Okay. Black plate shows more of the color.
No, Martha says white plate.
Oh, okay.
We only have white plates.
So. Oh, yeah, white plates. Okay.
Martha Stewart rolls.
But not because Martha, we just like white.
White plate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're racist, Maynard.
No,
racist right. In our plates, yes.
Okay. Let's move on to the game. The whole reason we have Ty here today is because we wanted to start doing some stuff that was a little bit above what we normally do. And I met Ty because we had posted a survey that he was working on, and then we had to pull it because of some technical issues we found. But... I said, well, hey, let's do something else. So hopefully we can have him back.
We're
some
just
going
to have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah, so.
That's what we do.
But he wanted to talk about fear tonight, since there's a lot of things going on in the world that has got people afeared.
Afeared. Don't be scared. I think a lot in our community right now is kind of freaking out a little bit, not just our community, but kind of the nation and the world. Are freaking out a lot about Trump and everything that's going on politically, and it's been triggering a lot of people's fears and anxieties about the unknown and what might happen or might not happen and how that's going to impact us all.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I guess the it seems like the increase of racial crime, is it a racial, I don't know how to say it, not racial crime, but people like flying swastika flags or spray painting synagogues or Jewish churches or cemeteries and stuff like that with swastikas and
some of those are definite crimes.
Crimes, yeah. Some of them definite crimes. Yeah. But I mean, it's also a lot of hate out there that,
yeah.
And, you know, that can be kind of scary in itself as sure. long as, you know, being gay and trying to figure all this out, not even to include that there's some teenage kid out there that's gay and scared to come out of the closet because everything he's seeing now is all about hate, where 2 years ago it was all about marriage equality, let's go, go, go. And now it's.
And now.
Now it's kind of almost taken a 360 and slowed everything down, it seems like. So
let me tell you something. When Trump got elected, I don't want to be political. We don't want to be political, but sometimes it happens. I actually had fear because we are talking about fear. I had fear that my door, when I get home that day after the election, that my garage door may have something scribbled in front of it. Mm. I had that true fear. And I'm happy that there's none.
I'm curious, is the thing that would be scribbled on your door, was it be more racially or yes, more?
Yes, more racially, probably either being from, you know, from out of the country or being gay. I don't know which one, but I had that kind of fear.
Sure. And you're not alone. Yeah. You know, then that's part of the reason that inspired me writing this blog and wanting to come and talk about fear, is if I'm hearing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. During probably the month before and the month after the election, I talked about this with every single client I had. Mm-hmm. Every single client, it was so prevalent in everything that we were doing that it would be amiss to not talk about the fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lot of the impetus or the thing that's pushing a lot of the social action is the fear of what he can actually do, which is. It's large, but we also have to keep ourselves grounded in what's reality, and that's a lot of where this blog came from is giving a couple of tools that we can use to help us stay grounded.
Yeah. Let's see, my fear is not with Trump. My fear is with the people behind Trump. It's pulling the strings.
Yeah, that's true. So, well, right now, one of the common themes right now, especially with the Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. you know, being affected right now, and now the AHCA coming up, right? So that's one of the fears that's going to be, you know, affecting a lot of people. The fear of not having healthcare.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's kind of the common theme right now. And I try to avoid Facebook now because that's pretty much what I see all the time.
Yeah, Facebook scares the shit out of you if you actually pay attention to it. So.
Well, fear mongering works in both directions, right? Yeah. We can. You know, the left puts a lot of stuff out there in fear. Of what might actually happen. And that gets sensationalized and we actually have an emotional reaction about what might happen rather than what actually is happening. And again, that's a little further into the blog.
Well, let's talk about that. You used one of my favorite quotes, "For the night is dark and full of terror."
We talked about that before.
It's from one of our homes.
Yeah, I know. It's just that it's one of our episodes. One of our episodes, we talk about that particular quote.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that was very fortuitous of me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose the quote because it helps conceptualize a little bit that even religion has used fear as a motivator to change behavior since the invent of religion. And specifically Game of Thrones is exactly what that is motivating people to move towards what they want them to do out of fear of what might be coming, right? Yeah. And that's the entire impetus of, you know, the winter is coming. What's winter? It's not the unknown. It's not knowing what that is that oftentimes spurs us to take action or sometimes freeze and not take action. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, what else in the blog? So, let me ask you first.
Yeah.
You're on Facebook a lot, right?
Sure.
Okay. And is this a topic that you sometimes chat with either publicly or even via private messages or, I don't know, with your friends?
Certainly in my personal life, I talk about it with my friends. You know, a lot of people, we have a lot of straight friends, a lot of gay friends. This comes up a lot of what are you guys going to do? And we talk about our marriage and what is this going to mean for our marriage? And you know, we try not to freak out about it because there's nothing current that is threatening my marriage. right? Neither of us are state employees, so even the Texas stuff that's going through the bill is going to impact us. Mm-hmm. So on a day-to-day, you know, there's not a lot for us to fear at this moment, because there's nothing serious that could actually impact us. Now, there is some stuff that it could actually impact our trans friends, you know, and that is very real and something to be afraid of. Right. But it's specifically the stuff that I'm encouraging people to stay away from, which is the fear of the things that don't exist yet.
Yeah.
It's trying to put out the fires that aren't lit yet. When it's real, then we have the actual motivation to actually get up and do something about what's present now. But a lot of the stuff that's been pushed out there is based on shreds of evidence and fear, really. Yeah. I think in a lot of ways, fear has been a motivator for, again, sort of the social movements now. But for a lot of other people, we're shutting down. And that's the scary part of where fear can really impact us.
Well, I think the whole thing, too, is people, they get scared. And they're like, okay, I just don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
And they block everything out.
Yeah.
When kind of that's what the people that's promoting the fear want to happen. Because then they don't have anybody standing against them.
Sure. And fear works both ways, right? I mean, for a long time, you know, the people that do have racist thoughts and actions and beliefs, they were in fear of the norm. And
yeah.
The norm was pushing against anything racial. And with Trump and coming up, it's created an atmosphere where that is allowed, where that is normal, and that's okay. And it's given a place where the people who were formerly in fear are not anymore, and they're speaking up and more present. Mm-hmm. So it's not that our country all of a sudden got more racial. It's just that these people came out of the woodworks right. because they thought that they could.
Yes.
And it's now an appropriate or affirming place yeah. where they can talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Where, I guess, when we're talking about fear and some of the stuff, where do we go from individuals' rights to free speech to doing stuff that scares people?
Those are different.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's one thing if I hang a swastika above my door because I believe in the neo-Nazi party.
Right.
It's another thing if I go out there and actually do stuff to hurt people.
But I think that's the catch, though, because I think that our freedom of speech can create fear for people.
Yeah.
And absolutely it would, you know, if you put a flaming swastika in my yard, because I'm Jewish too, you know, that absolutely is going to elicit a fear response, you know, but whether it's in my yard or not, you know, that's still, it may be your freedom, right, to not the flaming swastika, yeah. but I mean, if you were to put that in your yard, that can be intimidating
right.
and create elicit fear, you know, one side is going to be a legal interpretation of what's legal and what's not, as far as freedom of speech. And I think we're actually getting into that nitty-gritty and what's okay and what's not. Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of freedom, of course, you can do all those things, put a swastika in front of your yard. If it's freedom of speech. Yes, sure. But of course, you have the consequences
sure.
of it that, of course, others will have the same freedom to actually criticize you for doing the same thing.
Yep.
You display your freedom of speech, we will display our freedom of speech in front of you too.
Could sure.
be people picketing on you or people, you know, saying things against you, you know, because it is still freedom on the other side.
Right. You know? But there's cause and effect, right?
Yeah.
You absolutely have the right to take any action you want, but there is going to be a repercussion for that. And
oh, yeah.
if you are willing to take that consequence, then by all means, do whatever you want within freedom of speech. But there is a social norm, I think, that usually stays most people's hands in that sort of expression. Is that acceptable or not?
Yeah. So when this stuff happens and people get scared, is there like levels of fear or is there stages people go through or...
That's a really good question, I don't have a direct answer of yes or no or of stages of fear. I do think that now I'm overthinking. It's a good question, and I think everyone responds differently. I think everyone's tolerance for fear is different. I think everyone has different levels of coping skills to help deal with that. Part of my research is on resilience and how different people have different levels of resilience and how we deal with stress and discrimination and how we process that. Research kind of shows that people of color, people of minorities, sexual minorities, that people who face adversity their entire lives, learning disabilities, that sort of stuff, tend to be more resilient than a white middle-aged, middle-class kind of white guy. They're going to, just because they have more practice at being resilient and having to overcome other things. There's a lot of factors to go into that, and it makes it really hard to say yes or no that different people react different ways. But when we do experience fear, that is pretty rote. We exhibit the same sort of symptoms. And the anxiety that comes with fear to try and elicit or try and move away from the fear, that is pretty universal and looks pretty much the same when we do experience fear.
Well, the way I take it from what you just said is that those who have more to fear are somewhat stronger.
That could be one interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're more resilient.
Yeah. They've had more practice.
Yeah, more practice. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. People who are more oppressed and possibly who had experienced a lot of fear are the ones who have these coping mechanisms, who have these defensive, they're on defense all the time, and they get to adapt.
And I think fear is different for everybody too. I mean, I don't get scared by what's going on really, but put me in a room and shut the door and cut the lights off, I get scared.
Why is that?
I don't know, but that's the difference. I mean, I could care less about, I'm not worried about what's happening in the world, but put me in that environment, like sitting in a house by myself with the lights off and the house starts creaking, I get scared.
That's a very good tie-in to the topic, because this is specific to not just fear in general, but fear of the unknown. The dark represents, right? That's the title of The Night is Dark and Full of Terrors, is we don't know what's there because we can't see it coming. Mm-hmm. And that is... That was the purpose of this article, was to help keep us grounded in the things that are real for us. Because a lot of our cognitive distortions is where we talk about this. We go to the worst possible scenario. You know, I mean, sitting alone in the room, in the house, and it's dark, you don't know what's there. You hear a creak, and you think monster. You think...
I watched too many horror movies. Right? Way too many horror movies.
You think Freddy Krueger, or you think Jason. It goes to the worst possible scenario. And it's called catastrophizing or awfulizing. And it is a type of cognitive distortion. On the blog, there's actually a link where you can click, and it talks about 15 or so different cognitive distortions, types of distorted ways of thinking. And catastrophizing is a very common one that most people engage in at some way or shape or form. But again, it's being afraid of the thing that isn't even there, right? The creek itself is benign. There's nothing behind a creek. Now, what that creek could represent, or what it could be, that's terrifying. Yeah. But our brain, we emotionally react to that worst case scenario, not the thing that's actually present in front of us, but we can't see it.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to narrow in on what is real for us right now.
Do you think that fear, like what Ray is talking about, is it kind of categorized to be artificial, that there's such a thing as it's just a figment of your imagination, as opposed to I'm fearing this because I'm going to lose my health care. You know, there's a big difference between the two, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
But is there a big difference between the two?
Or is there? I don't know.
Or is there? I'm going to take the cheap out or the cop out for a therapist and say it depends.
It depends.
I think there are times where, again, our fear is grounded in reality, where, you know, we don't know what the Republicans are going to propose out. Well, actually, we do now. It just came out. I actually haven't read it through yet. There's been a lot of responses on that and what it's going to be and what it's not going to be. A lot of our fears of, you know, taking away pre-existing conditions, taking away your kids at 26, and that was going to get cut, and those things that we were afraid were going to get cut weren't, right? But there was a tizzy about it. We got all worked up about something that didn't even happen. Yeah. And that's exactly my point, is that we didn't have proof that that was going to happen yet. But we went to that worst case scenario, right? And I think our society is kind of conditioned on both ends to react vitriolically to the opposite side, right? Yeah. So anything the Republicans say, anything that comes out of Trump's mouth is bad, right? But there's a few things he said that aren't horrible.
True.
Right? Yeah. And there are a few things that Hillary said that were horrible, yeah. right?
Yeah.
So it's being real instead of buying into the fear. And there is absolute concern. If you are on Medicare or Medicaid and they're talking about cutting these things, or you have a real reason to have fear. And that I would say that that's okay to be afraid about, and you process that fear. But, you know, so if you're not on Medicare or Medicaid, that's not a real thing for you right now. So let that. Don't take that on as a personal thing, yeah. right?
So what I guess that is one aspect of it, that, you know, fear of the more of the reality. Right. Because what you just said is reality.
Sure.
But the one that Ray is fearing is it's the light, you know, the room is dark and monsters might come in. You know,
right.
So I feel that that is more of an artificial one. It was more manufactured.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, where did you get that idea? You read that in books, right? Or you watched too much sci-fi.
Right.
Or
it's a little more of the cognitive distortion, right? Yeah, there's a little piece of thread in there that is truth, which is the creek, mm-hmm. but the rest of it is what is manufactured or artificial, as you say. Mm-hmm. And that's where the distortion comes in. So that's the first step of being able to acknowledge this, is being aware of what's a distortion and what's real. And that's why I intentionally included the link here, so that you can go and educate yourself. You can be able to use the terms and saying, I'm thinking in black or white thinking, or, you know, it's absolute, all or nothing, that kind of thinking. Or I'm engaging in overgeneralization. So I had one point, data point, that I'm going to assume that this is always going to be true for all people in all scenarios. And those are types of cognitive distortions where that may be true, but it's not always going to be true. Right. And so it's taking this little data point and letting it be proof or be real for that data point, and not assuming that that's always going to be true in every scenario. And so that's the first step, is being able to be aware of when we're engaging in this type of thinking. Mm-hmm. So once we're able to label it and tell that we're engaging in this, we can go to the second step, which is reframing it. And the rule for a reframe of a thought is so that it's more positive and more true. Right. So the reframe is grounded in fact, only fact. We're not allowed to include our fears, our emotions, but stay as factual as possible, and so that it's more positive and more true. So the fear of the creek, and it's an axe murderer. So how we could reframe that, so it's say it could be an axe murderer, but it could also be a cat walking across the floor, right? We don't know. And so the point of a reframe is not to lie to ourselves, but to introduce the opportunity that the worst case is not the only case.
Okay.
Right?
The sky is not falling.
It could be.
But
there's other scenarios too. Yeah.
Like the ground is rising.
Yes.
Right?
The opposite might be true.
Yeah. Interesting. So the first part is really rationalizing, pretty much. Like I said, about being mindful of it.
Absolutely.
And then the second part would be reframing it. And it's like, how do you say this? It's more like, like what you said, there are worse things that could happen. This is not the worst thing that could happen to you. Or, yeah, okay, I see that. Is that, now I try to, I've tried that in my life before, that I might be, let's say I don't have enough money. I can't pay for this. That happened to me once, and then, well, there are worse things that happen to other people. Or, I mean, that's the way I look at it sometimes.
Sure.
And I could probably, just I need to be patient. And so you change the frame of mind or something. That's what you just mentioned.
Absolutely, it changes the state of mind that you're in. Yeah, okay. And so when we're able to ground ourselves in facts, we're less likely to be emotional. In fact, we don't function very well being emotional and logical at the same time. It's kind of a switch. We get one or the other. Very few of us have a developed bridge between the two hemispheres of our brain that function at the same time. So usually when we're emotional, we don't think logically. And when we're logical, we don't always think emotionally. And the more extreme, the more emotional we get with that, the less logic we get, the less higher functioning we get. And so when we're very heightened in a state of fear, that's all we get. In fact, we kind of revert back to what we call the dinosaur brain, which is the fight, flight, or freeze. That's all we get. And so when we're very afraid, freeze is very real. If you're thinking like a possum, it just freezes, right? Mm-hmm. It plays dead. And that's not necessarily because it's acting dead. It literally can't function.
Oh.
Its body shuts down. And it works until it calms down a little bit. The threat is gone, and then it can work again. And we function the same way. When we are immediately threatened, we get very heightened, right? When we were in a car accident, we are completely shaken. We may be in shock, right? Our brain shuts down so that our body can function. If we need to run away, if saber-toothed tiger is chasing after us, we need to be able to flee, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to freeze in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Your instinct is to run.
But that's where that kind of developed, that part of our brain developed, that fight, flight, or freeze, is when we were in absolute animalistic impulses. We didn't have a ton of higher functioning and logic. But as society evolved, our brain didn't. So even the slightest thing that can be a fear response, our brain functions the exact same way, and we still have that fight, flight, or freeze. Whether that's talking to our partner about, you know, you left the cap off the toothpaste again, and that, you know, that confrontation is going to be slightly
hell
fearful.
Broke loose. toothpaste.
Or
you
could
pick
be
your battles, man. You got to pick your battles.
Or it could be Donald Trump threatening your life, right? Not maybe your literal life, but you know the way
your livelihood.
Exactly.
Threatening your livelihood.
We have the same fear response: fight, flight, or freeze. You know, in those extreme cases.
I keep forgetting that there's a third one. I always know the fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Yeah.
But the freeze part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you walk on stage to do something, and then you get stage fright and you freeze, and you can't talk, you can't remember anything.
Well, if you're in front of a stage, just imagine everyone is wearing underwear. Just underwear. That's what
No, that's never worked for me.
Yeah.
No,
never worked for me.
Then I'm walking around with a hard on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that could happen.
Can we say that?
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
This is not a PC show.
Okay, good.
It's not at all.
So how do we wrap this up, talking about fear?
Yeah, so the reframing is a really, really challenging part. So the last part is, you know, the reframing is the part that we have control over, of how we think about things, how we conceptualize things. But we have to accept that there is some reality in this, that we can't change. We don't have the power to change that. And that part, last part, is acceptance. It's just accepting the fact that there are things out of our control. I cannot control Donald Trump being president. Not personally, not me as an individual. Now, I can get more involved and do things that could eventually lead to that. I can be more politically active. I can write my my representatives. I can get involved more. But I myself, that is out of my control. And I have to accept that that is true. Okay. And this is a hard thing. Acceptance is not an endorsement. It's not saying that this is okay. It's simply just being real enough to accept and acknowledge that this is true, that the sky is blue, grass is green for now, you know, that this is where it is for now. And kind of keep reminding ourselves that, you know, we made it through 12 years of total of Bushes. We can make it through 4 years of Trump.
Trump. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's hope. So, well, you know, kind of wrap this up. I want to say people also need to realize that fear is used as a way to control you.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of people get scared about stuff, but they also need to realize that. And I was watching this before we came over here. I was catching up on Feud with Betty and Joan. And they were using their fears as women and getting older against them to push them and make them do what they wanted them to control them. And that literally made me think after we started talking about this, like, well, you know, fear is a way for other people to control you too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And you have to be aware of that too, that not everything's...
So I do want to say that, you know, though this is a simple process, it's only three steps, each one of these steps is very hard, and it is a practice of behavior change. And so it is just like any other skill set. It takes time and effort and practice to get better at each one of these steps. And sometimes it's more than we can do on our own. And so it is appropriate to reach out for a therapist. If fear is very real for you, whether it's about Trump or anything else, you know, this is a big deal for our youth coming out, you know, that is real, whether that's in our personal life, whether that is I just got diagnosed with cancer and I don't know how to deal with it, whatever the fear is around, it is appropriate to reach out because sometimes it's more than any one of us can handle. And so please do seek out a therapist, whether it's me or anyone else.
Okay. Good to hear.
All right, Maynard.
We're going to go to the geek now?
You're on to the geek, man. Oh, okay. It's all yours.
Well, like
your
I said.
Edible robots.
Edible robots?
We have edible robots now.
Ty might like this because it's...
Maybe he's scared of it.
Maybe you're scared of it. Maybe you're fear about this.
The phobia of robots.
So yeah, we're going to a story. This is from Rico.net. So edible robots made from gelatin may soon get to work in your intestinal tract. So robots can conduct surgery. Pacemakers can help regulate a person's heartbeat. And now robots you eat may soon start crawling around inside your intestinal tract, delivering medicine or handling other duties.
Are we talking like nanotechnology here?
Yeah, it's more like chemical, I think. It's the same way you have a delayed reaction on some of the pills, you know, for probiotics or things like that. So researchers from Intelligent Systems Laboratory at Ecole Polytechnic Federal de Lausanne in Switzerland shared new work this week on a tiny edible and digestible robot, a robotic actuator made of gelatin. The researcher is led by graduate student Jun Shitake. Sounds Japanese. So actuators are the components and machines that are responsible for movement. But unlike the typical metal joinery that's powered by a motor, these edible gelatin actuators are filled with air or fluid or react to chemicals which cause them to move. So it is interesting that we're having this technology. It's not the same robots that we know about, like Star Trek or nanobots, whatever you have. You're a Star Trek fan, right, Ray? So it's nanites and things like that. We don't have that much, but this is probably a good start that we have a gelatin form robot that crawls around your body. But it's kind of scary. Would you, Ray, would you do a study for this, or would you do a...
Well, considering some of the restaurants I've eaten at in Houston, I'm sure I got other stuff crawling around me from eating at some of the places I've eaten at. So.
Would you consider this, Ty, if you...
No.
Some kind of experiment? No. You're still scared about this?
No.
So there goes the fear. Aha! Here's the fear of robotic gelatin. Okay.
I guess it would depend on what the final outcome is. If they want me to test this just to see if I'm going to drop dead, or if it's to, like, fix something... Or is it like, oh, you have digestive issues? Let's put these nanites, these gel nanites in you and make your life much better. Mm-hmm. And it'll suck all the fat out of you and you'll be hot and muscular in 6 months.
That would be good, right, for some people? Yeah. You ingest something and then next thing you know, it's eating up the fat.
Well, in most cases, I ingest it and just get more fat. That's usually what happens.
So. That's right. I could tell.
See, fear is going to be you going out that window.
Oh, that's right. I am fearing that now. Okay. So let's go to what's your next
story, Ray? We got two bizarres this week.
Oh, yeah. The bizarre. Well, yeah, go ahead, Ray. Okay.
The first one, this couldn't be any better. And it actually didn't happen in Florida. It happened somewhere else. So that's what got me, that it didn't happen in Florida. Naked brothers punch woman in face after she interrupted them passionately making out in the dumpster. Two drug-crazed, stark-naked brothers were arrested on a laundry list of charges after they punched a woman in the face when she opposed their passionate makeout session outside an apartment complex in Indianapolis on Sunday, officials said. Timothy Batts and his older brother, Noah, were completely nude when an assistant manager at the Lighthouse Landings apartment spotted them passionately making out near a dumpster, according to Wish TV. So.
They're nude?
They were nude.
Making out by a dumpster.
By a dumpster, and they were brothers. So,
is it a dare? Somebody lost?
Well,
I don't know.
Drugs were involved. Let's put it this way. So,
wait, are they twins? I don't know.
No, because...
No, I saw their pictures. They're definitely not twins.
They're not twins. So,
but clearly they're related.
Yeah. 21-year-old Timothy was charged with battery, disorderly conduct, resisting the laws, public indecency, obscene performance, incest, attempted car theft, and we'll come back to the incest one. Attempted car theft and intimidation. His 24-year-old brother received similar charges, including public intoxication, incest, obscene performance, disorderly conduct, possession of marijuana, resisting to laws, and attempted auto theft.
Resistant to laws.
Well, you know, I'm just keeping it real with the people that listen to this.
Can we operationally define incest? Well, just kissing your sibling count as incest?
Well, I mean, we're not exactly sure, because if there are any listeners out there that have the unedited video of this, because I know it's floating around because I've seen it on the news, with nothing blacked out and what was actually going on. Because these guys were making out, and then the manager confronted them, and they punched her in the face. And
oh, they started, manager?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Okay. Yeah, so they...
That
so,
makes much more sense. Yeah, I was like, why was she getting involved?
She went out to try to
She's break being left out?
Get, and maybe, so... But she got punched in the face, and then they started car hopping, going through everybody's cars that was unlocked. First of all, how are all these unlocked cars with unlocked doors in the parking lot? Where in the hell do these people live?
I know.
So, well, let's talk about incest, because that caught my attention, the whole incest thing.
But what about, like, Luke and Leia? They made out, didn't they?
Well, that was just a good...
it was a kiss.
That it was just a kiss. Really, but that's what these guys are doing.
Well, I think they were doing...
But they were naked.
They were naked.
But they were naked.
And they were making out, so... Okay.
Let's it definitely takes it up a notch.
Yeah. So, but the fact that it is 2016 and you're over the age of 18 and you can get charged with incest still?
Well, I guess so. It depends on the state, isn't it?
Laws.
Is this in Florida?
That's what I was saying. No, we need to operationally define what is incest based on this person's law.
The state's law. But I was like, okay, I could understand it for anybody being under the age of 18. But after you're consenting adult, how do they still charge you for incest?
Yeah, because there are some stories before. I think we had them in the story, one of the gay bizarre stories we had before. That's the father and the daughter. They've been estranged for decades, and they got together, and somehow they fell in love. And it was weird because it became...
Did they know they were siblings? Or they were
no, they didn't know for...
They didn't know, yeah.
Probably 2 decades.
Yeah, I've heard that of separated siblings.
Yeah.
I've heard of that happening.
But this one's a father and daughter. I guess, father figure. But then that's this different kind of father figure.
And I know it's
really his father.
And I know I've known several sets of twins, and there's some stuff that's kind of gray area there with those to start off with. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, fantasy things that...
Well, no, we're not even talking about Tumblr yet.
Oh, okay.
We're just talking about... I grew up with a set of twins, and it's...
I hope they're not...
It was just like they knew too much about each other.
Oh.
And I know they're twins, and there's supposed to be some kind of link there, but it just seems like there was more going on there during the teenage years.
So you didn't hang out with them? You should have hung out with them and find out.
Well, I did. I mean, we did hang out, but I didn't, I was young and dumb and didn't really think about it then. But the older I got, now that I look back, I was like, God, those two,
twin girls, twin guys?
Guys.
Twin guys. Okay. Yeah.
So
I've always been curious about that because there's a huge push in that in gay porn for incest and especially twins. They make so much money.
So much money.
And then the whole thing about the big thing I've been seeing lately is the father son.
Well, there's a difference between daddy boy.
Well, no, I'm and talking about, son. I'm talking about real father
like
son,
real life everybody's, biological father
like
son.
There are probably 10 million stories about a father son incest than there are about two twins incest.
So there's a difference between calling someone daddy and actually calling someone dad.
Yeah,
there's a difference. Yes, dad.
There's a difference.
But yes, so all right, Maynard, you want to take the second bizarre?
All right. This is in Texas here, so it kind of affects us. So, new Texas bill takes aim at men's masturbation habits. So, guys, listen. So, Houston, Texas, State Representative Jessica Farrar in Houston, Democrat, filed a bill Friday that would penalize men for unregulated masturbatory emissions. So, the satirical Houston bill 4260. Would encourage men to remain fully abstinent. Good luck with that. And only allow the occasional masturbatory emissions inside healthcare and medical facilities, which are described in the legislation as the best way to ensure men's health. Farrar said she created the bill after feeling fed up with the various legislative bills introduced by men addressing women's health care. So it's kind of she's trying to be fair, I guess. So a lot of people find the
bill. Yeah.
So a lot of people find this bill funny. Farrar said in a phone interview, "What's not funny are the obstacles that Texas women face every day that were placed there by legislatures, making it very difficult for them to access health care." So I guess it's like trying to do a payback.
I mean, it'll never get passed because there are too many men in sitting in the House and Senate that they won't even get passed too far because there's not enough women to pass it. But it's still one of those things that you know, men keep regulating women's bodies, but when are they going to start regulating their own?
Where's the masturbation police? That's what I want to know. How are they going to regulate this?
And my question is,
how do you enforce it?
And then my question is, what's the fine? Because am I going to have to go to jail because of this?
Oh, it's a man.
I'm sure you would be a sex offender and have to go on the list too.
Okay, here's the detail on that. A man would face a $100 penalty for each emission made outside of a vagina or medical facility.
So it's LGBT or it's straight sex only?
Yes, I guess so.
Oh, so gay men don't count.
Or married.
Yeah.
Well, now it's in a vagina.
Yeah. So even if they are in a legally binding gay marriage,
it still counts because it's very technical, a vagina or medical.
So such an emission would be considered an act of against an unborn child and failing to preserve the sanctity of life. Okay, I understand what she's doing. She did this.
It's like we were talking about earlier. It's just like that sign that's been floating around Facebook of all, you know, fear mongering. Impotence is God's will. Why is the government funding Viagra?
That's right. Then they should just accept it, right?
Accept it. That's right. It's God's will.
Yeah. So, but then we have Viagra for guys, so.
Yeah, funded by the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, let's see what happens to this. Good luck with that. But I know what she's doing. Anytime she's doing, she's trying to make a point that all these legislations are against, you know, towards controlling women's reproductive.
She wants to make a point. She'd go beat up some of her colleagues and browbeat them into doing some stuff worthwhile.
We can't promote physical violence.
I said browbeat. Go browbeat
either
up
way.
Okay,
her colleagues and make them do something worthwhile.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like meat size once every 2 years. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Okay, so I guess that's our show.
That is our show.
Thank you, Ty, for joining us.
Absolutely. Awesome. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. We should probably have you again on when you probably post another, you know, another thought about fear. Or maybe you have a blog post again next time.
There will be many blog posts. Yeah. Okay. And you can check them out at tdlcounseling.com or on my Facebook, TDL Counseling.
Okay. That's awesome. We'll be checking out the Facebook, and we'll put the links on the website for everyone to link on. And of course, we'll be talking about this for a couple more episodes, of course. And we'll be posting it on the Gay Geek Bizarro website, and well, also on the Facebook page, facebook.com/GayGeekBizarro. I'd like to give special thanks to Cesar for the great articles on Facebook he's been posting there. And also, if you want to contact us, you can email us at show@GayGeekBizarro.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Call us and leave us a voicemail. We have yet to get a voicemail on this show.
Probably this time when Ty's on. So probably we'd hoping that.
Well, no, we'll get all the emails.
I'll bring all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, we'll get all the emails. What does he look like? Is he a bear?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the emails I'll get. Probably, all the chasers would be like,
oh, yeah, we have some people from Ohio.
I'll be like, he's got a husband and he will kick your butt.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But I do Skype sessions. So, Ohio is just fine if you want to come in for therapy.
Okay.
Okay. That's good. So follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at GayGeekBizarro.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.